Hey guys, it's Justin Hill here. Strap on your high heels and put on your pads because we're going drag racing. Ah, crap. She's bottomed out, guys. Play the music. Welcome to Stan Original, RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, the podcast. The dust has settled on the third season of Drag Race Down Under, and post-crowning, it's now time to catch up with our final three queens, Floor, Gabriella Labucci, and of course our reigning queen, Isis Avis Loren, where we talk about spooky coincidences while filming the show, joining Work the World, and what's up next for our final three queens.
And joining me on the podcast today is one of our runner-up queens, our top three queen. It is Floor. Hey, it's so good to talk to you. My goodness, did you just come into this season three of Drag Race Down Under and just sprinkle a little bit of spice in there? I feel like that was your job and you did it to like the top level. I mean, it just, you must be so proud of like your drag race journey and what you've got to show us of you as a queen, right?
I mean, we all like a little bit of a spicy. Yeah, I'm very proud. Like, everything what I did, I tried my best. I did well. I was just once in the bottom, which is good. My track record is there. Is good. So I'm proud. I'm very happy.
And also too, it's, you know, like, it's got to be said, I know that you were very worried in the talent show about like, you know, the language barrier, and but you just nailed it. I was like, what on earth were you worried about? Because you just shone like a star. I mean, you even kept your blow up mannequin of Reese a secret, you know, when you brought that out on stage that we didn't even, they didn't even know about. Are those the challenges that you find as a drag queen that you do have to coach yourself through, you know, in addition to making sure that, I mean, God, you just look like a Photoshop picture every time you came on screen. It was just incredible. But, like, you know, it's not all easy sailing as a drag queen, is it?
No. So I was really worried because before Drag Race, I didn't used to, like, host at all. Like, it was so hard for me. Obviously, I tried, but like it was so hard for me to grab the microphone. Like, okay, what am I gonna say? And like, obviously, you have to like, I entertain the people in other ways, like performing, or like I can do like makeup tutorials and things like that. But like grabbing the microphone and hosting in front of RuPaul, I was like, maybe just I'll be in the bottom.
No, this is the thing. I guess you went from like you did steps like. You went from like A step to letter G step in just one go. Like you just did absolutely everything.
Yeah, I think it was just RuPaul just keeps reminding you. Like, yeah. If you're not having fun, it's not going to work. So I was like, what am I going to, like, if I get really worried, that's how am I going to f*** it up. Can I say f*** it up?
Yeah, of course you can.
I was, you know, in the moment when I walked out of the stage to, like, you know, start my routine, I was like, just let it go, girl. Just let it go. You are here. You wanted to be here. This is your moment. And I grabbed the microphone and I was, like, literally looking at RuPaul's eyes. She was looking at me. I remember that she was, while doing the routine, I remember that she was trying to see if I made any mistakes because she was reading the board. If I like, I was literally saying what I wrote on the road, on the whiteboard, and I was like, I can see you, but I practiced it.
Such a great job, and you did such a great job throughout the entire season. You know, you delivered on all the things that we love to see in a drag queen. And you also kind of like broke a bit of a, not a curse, but like something in the show that we see is. You know, unfortunately, you were in that situation where the other queens did say that they thought that maybe you should go home. But then, Floor, you were in the final three. So, and that doesn't happen on this show. When the girls kind of nominate someone to go home, they either go home that episode or very shortly after. And, babe, you made it to the end.
I know. The jealousy, bitches. look, when they said my name, I was upset, obviously, but I was literally just thinking, like, don't make a drama, don't make a drama, don't make a drama. That's what they want you to do. So in the moment, I was just like quiet. I stayed quiet. Everybody was saying sorry. I'm like, I don't think you have to be sorry, because if you say my name, it was because you thought I was the worst in the moment. Like, any excuse or any reason you're gonna say now, just shut up, baby. Just shut up.
Yeah.
So, like, you said my name already, and the name that I said, it was Bompa. It was because I thought in the moment that she should be the one to go home, and I could say it again.
Totally. But, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was the problem of the other girls. Like, if you said my name, don't come here to say sorry, because you're indeed. And yeah, but like, actually, I think Michelle had a very good point of view. She was like, sometimes they say the name because they are scared of that girl. And really? I mean, that's right.
They're nervous. That
they
you were
all
gonna
went
make it
home
to
anyway.
They all went home anyway. I was going to say they were nervous that you were going to make it to the top three, and you did. So it's kind of like the best revenge. Is there something that you love the most about what you do? Because, I mean, I just feel like you're such a well-rounded queen. You made us laugh. Your makeup is impeccable. Your fashion sense is amazing. You have a really great presence, you know, in front of people. And even though you might be nervous about those things, you really did deliver. And I'm just curious to know what it is that you love the most about doing drag.
Obviously, I love performing. I love performing. You know, when I perform, I feel my fantasy. But I think in the moment, like, I just literally see myself, like floor space is just giving me the power. Because I paint, like, super, super, like, I try to be, like, snatched and, like, this porcelain, like, just this beautiful mug that I try to do every single time. I think makeup for me is just, the makeup is this is the best of the drag that I can do.
and it is of a very high quality. And finally, before we finish up, I mean, I just have three words for you. Work the world. I mean, honestly, my love, to come off such an incredible TV show with Stan and then go straight into Work the World with drag legacy people. Are you just living your dream?
I am. You know, I remember when they emailed me and I was working in the hospital, and I was like, I literally, the tears were coming, baby. Because actually, before I went to the filming, I told my husband, I was like, my goals from, obviously, I mean, win, obviously, but after Drag Race, my goal is seen on Work the World and in Las Vegas show. And when I got the email, I was like, there we go, one more.
Just, I mean, gosh, it's just so crazy that you're able to tick so many things off. But like I said, you are just such an incredible drag queen. We have loved watching you on our screens. I'm very proud of you, and I cannot wait to see what on earth happens for you next, because you are just spicy and amazing, and I think the world is just going to love you.
Oh, thank you very much, Remy.
Congratulations, and thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
What the hell? It's here we are at the end of Drag Race Down Under Season 3. And who else am I going to be joined by but the one and only Gabriella Labucci? Here she is. I love that you even had a hashtag that was team that emoji with the fingers. I mean, people have just obsessively taken over this whole persona that you've created, yet you're not even Italian.
No. The funny thing is, my entire drag career, I've not once ever referred to myself as an Italian until RuPaul said, Gabriella Labucci. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm the new Lawrence Chaney. All right, here we go.
Or the new Ivy Winters. Mm-hmm. It's an honor. It's an honor to be referred to by that as Mama Ru, right?
Absolutely. Ru doesn't give a fun little emphasis on many queens' names. So if she gives it to you, you take it and run.
Absolutely. Now, I feel like this has probably just been the most insane couple of months for you. I have been busting to speak to you, but also very quietly hoping that I did not talk to you to the very end of this show. And I just feel like people just must be coming up to you and just telling you how proud they are of you, right? Because you had a true transformation on this show, inside and out.
Yeah, it's been very surreal, the love that I've been getting. And it still feels really weird when people stop me in the street and chase me with the Italian hands. But I love it. I love it. I love every second of it.
But also, Drew, you're so... I think that the thing we love about you, Gab, is that we can see ourselves in you. And I think that, like, we all put on that voice every now and then, or we all have the silly things we say to our friends. You know, there was just so much that you brought to this show that I think every single person that watched it could really identify with who you were. And whether it was the funny, silly stuff, or whether it was that incredibly, like, just deep and meaningful stuff that you brought us in the last couple of episodes, revealing, you know, those really personal stories. Does it feel like you've kind of connected with a lot of people while you were on the show and then afterwards?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially from the last episode, I've had an influx of people messaging me saying, you know, things like, I'm so honoured to have representation on TV, finally. I didn't think that I'd be going onto TV to be the representation that people haven't had before on TV, but here we are. It's a very surreal feeling.
Hey, you. They always say you're someone's cheerleader, you're someone's poster person, that's for sure. Let's talk about this incredible green symbolism. And there's actually a few things that happened to you throughout this show. And I'm not sure if you're allowed to tell the glass story, but let's get to that in a minute. But just, there were so many, just things that happened that were, it seemed to just to be the universe just tying it together and saying, Gab, this is your time. This is when Australia and the world is meant to meet you. I mean, the fact that, you know, you explained that the color of green in the pride flag means growth, and you have this incredible, you know, green outfit, and you probably didn't even know that going on to the show, it was going to be a journey of growth for you, right? You're just probably like, I'm going to do my thing and just see if everyone likes it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, funnily enough, episode one, the runway category, Somewhere Under the Rainbow, I wanted to do a green monochromatic look because the description was, what does the pride flag mean to you?
Yeah.
And I was like, everyone's probably going to do something, you know, simple, I should say. And I was like, well, you know, green, that's growth. And there's been a lot of growth to the point to get cast on Drag Race. And before we'd even got the list, I'd started that rainbow gown because that was originally going to be my finale gown.
Wow.
And then we got the list and I was like, nah, Missy Elliott, finger flip it, reverse it. Got to be the other way around.
Now, I don't know if you're allowed to tell the glass story. You told me on the live stream at the finale event. So, Susan, if you want to step in and say she can't, that's totally fine.
But if
you're allowed to tell it, I would love people to hear about that just crazy, you know, inception moment that happened, especially with the last lip sync.
The last lip sync. A very surreal, funny moment when I think it was the first or second day, we were all in the van, all 10 of the queens were in the van, and we're going back to the hotel. And the hotel we were in had the underground car park, but the van was just a little bit too big to get into that car park, and it had a bit of a prang, if you will, and broke the light above the van, and broken glass had fallen into the van through the air vent onto myself and Isis, which was very fitting because the lip sync for the crown was Walking on Broken Glass by Annie Lennox. It was very surreal. And
naturally, you were very safe and looked after, but what an ironic moment that, like, it would almost, like, give you goosebumps to be on the stage. Or as soon as you heard that, like, that was going to be the song, you're just like, what is the universe doing to me?
I didn't even realise it wasn't until the van ride home back to the airport, like, there was a tiny bit of glass still in the van. And I was like, oh, my God, Isis, the glass fell on you and I. What song did we just lip sync to? And she was like, get out.
So good. And also too, who would have thought that someone like Taylor Swift would steal your thunder and start giving out friendship bracelets when that is your thing? I'm actually Devo. Oh, I don't have one.
My birthday. I know she's older than me, but she stole my birthday.
Next thing she'll be doing like some of your drag, but Taylor's version.
Yeah, she'll next come for the bald head look. I don't know.
Maybe you should drop like a 1989 Gabs version.
Well, 1991, thank you very much.
Yes, she is older. My apologies. Now, a little mystery that's been going on for the duration of this podcast, which we can hilariously now talk about, was there were these little things that kept popping up in the workroom, these tiny quick shots that I noticed and like Hannah Condor noticed, and we would bring them up. One of them was the makeup brushes in the high heels. And you were straight on the DMs and you're like, babe, it's me. They were mine.
Yes, I did famously keep my brushes in a shoe.
I mean, is that like tradition that Gab does or like?
Never done it before. I just wanted my station nice and tidy and I didn't have anything to keep my brushes in and I knew I didn't need to wear those shoes again. So I was like, well, we'll just put those ones there. One shoe has the dirty brushes, one shoe has the clean brushes.
Oh, smart. Very clever. You can like keep them organized. Speaking of shoes, and we did see Floor do a shoey in the last episode. I feel like maybe that's some influence by you.
Absolutely it was. We made it. She's like, what is it? We're like, no, you saw the girls on season one do it. You've got to do one. So
yeah.
What she did.
Oh, yuck. But did you actually, I mean, I know we heard you partially explain to her what far out Brussels sprout meant, but did she get it?
There's so many times I say things to her and she's like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? What's so funny? Why are you laughing?
And then you were like, a tiny cabbage. You know, a tiny cabbage is a Brussels sprout. You, on that topic, you did bring us just some classic Australianisms that every week when I watched the show, I felt like you were bringing one out of the vault that I have not heard in years. And again, that just all comes back to like what we saw parts of ourselves in you. Do you have a favourite? Because, you know, when we had Art Simone, as we're not here to f*** spiders, you know, we've had some real crackers, but you just, babe, you rolled them out every time you came on camera.
Unintentionally, that's just how I speak. I'm a bogan from way back and I live for it. But I think one of my favourite ones that did make the edit was Bumper was telling us about her partner and how long they'd been together. And without a beat, I just said, oh, you're getting less for murder. And no one picked up on it or laughed and I was just wetting myself.
Oh, so great. Hey, I just love seeing you on our screens. I'm so excited to see, like, the world get more Gabriella Labucci. But what is it that you hope to share with the world? Because I've got a pretty clear sense that, you know, the things that are important to you are being showcasing the incredible talent that we have in regional Australia and regional places across the world. The fact that, you know, you can be your own person. And even the thing is, I didn't particularly like that. I mean, it didn't particularly love that we were calling you kind of like the silly clown queen, because I felt you actually, that was just one part of what you did, but you just genuinely just made us laugh. Is there any other layers to Gab that you want people to know as we let you loose into the world?
I mean, if people think that I'm mostly camp queen, I mean, I am, but there's much more to me than that. Like, that's why my name's Gabriella Labucci and it's not a pun name. Like, when I started doing, because I've been Gabriella from day dot, like, I always thought I don't want a pun in my name because I don't want to be boxed into that comedy genre. Yes, I sit comfortably there, but it's not all I can do.
There's just so much more. And where to from here? I mean, obviously, world domination, taking on Taylor Swift, like, there's just so much. But what's on the top of your list now that, well, once the glitter settles from the finale?
Oh, glitter never settles, darling. You've clearly never worn it. I think that I'm definitely going to plant that seed of would love to do a Versus the World or an All Stars or whatever. And if not, I will go and host Italy.
I was going to say, Priscilla, brush up on your Italian, but I think the appropriate thing would be to say, start your Italian.
Duolingo, here I come.
Hey, Gabriella Labucci, been an absolute pleasure and an honour to see you on this show. Thank you so much for waiting so long to talk to me. It is exactly what I wanted to see, other than you taking out the crown. I mean, it was too hard to choose between you and Icy, but I'm glad that, you know, we got to see you in the final two. And I hope that you are really proud of what you've done, because we are just immensely proud and support you 100%.
Yeah, no, definitely very proud of everything that I achieved and also incredibly proud of Icy. An Italian took the crown. It was going to happen either way.
Well, either way, one of you was going to get it. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for having me.
Well, it has come to that point of this incredible competition where I am speaking to
Drum roll, please. The winner of season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. It is the one and only Isis Avis Loren. I feel just like I'm so excited to speak to you. And we had like just a fleeting moment at the finale where I got to meet your beautiful mum. And I could just tell this, you were just like vibrating on another level that night. You were just ecstatic. Has it worn off yet? Or are you still kind of right up there?
Oh, no, I'm riding this high all the way throughout the year, babes. Oh, yeah. My goodness. It's been incredible. It's been incredible. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. I've said to a lot of the other girls, it's so funny doing this podcast and, you know, having done it for a couple of seasons now, you definitely find your favorites in the show and you think to yourself, oh, I can't wait to talk to them about their artistry and their drag. But then also at the same time, it's like, well, I don't want to speak to them too early because I don't want them to be out too soon. So I'm kind of glad that you and I are getting to chat at this point.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet, Justin. Thank you.
Now, there's just so many parts of your Drag Race journey that are so interesting. And I felt like I wanted to go back and like reintroduce myself to you and watch the very beginning of your Drag Race journey. And it's so funny because I feel like a theme that's really standing out to me for you is, I guess, the theme of a higher power, the theme of the universe. I mean, your name, Isis, there's, you know, your outfit in the last challenge was about the galaxy. Is this something that's very much something that you channel in your drag?
Yes. Yes. I'm a spiritual person. I do believe that there's sort of a cosmic energy that links us all, whether you believe in, you know, a god or, you know, Mother Nature or yeah, whatever. I think there's something that links us all. And my
Lady
lyric,
Gaga.
Exactly. My Lord and Savior, Lady Gaga. Yes. my lyric, Born from a Star is Born in You, is there's a lot to unpack in just that one lyric. Being that we're all, you know, all of the elements that we're made of are born from stars and from the nuclear fission process of the birth of a star and the death of a star.
Oh, she's a smart queen as well as beautiful. Excuse me, using words like nuclear fusion on my podcast.
Just a little bit. But that energy, that power that comes from being here, being a part of this universe, being, you know, lucky enough to live on be alive on a planet that sustains life and that is, you know, this is getting very technical and very very big conversation, but that we're all here for a reason. We're all here to live life and be celebrating life, and that each one of us is a star. We're all uniquely beautiful. We're all uniquely, one. And that we're also connected wholly on this one planet. Soon maybe two planets. We'll see how
goes. I mean, when is that going to happen? For goodness sake, I feel like you and I could almost start an astrological podcast and chat about this forever.
That would be wonderful. I'd love that. I'd love that. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah,
that'd be absolutely gorgeous. I mean, having said that, we do have our own planet here that is wonderful, sustain us for this long. Let's keep it nice. Let's keep it beautiful. Let's pick up the trash. Let's stop the coal mines. I'm getting political now, but nonetheless.
We've done spiritual, political.
What's next? Let's get some Reiki in here. I don't know how to do that.
I've had that done before. I have an auntie who does it. All right. Well, let's go from those topics to one that's probably equally as important, hairography, because I feel like hairography is your superpower. And I know that you were not in the bottom at all. And you go into a legacy of queens who have won the show without being in the bottom. And I went back and watched your performances and you are talented. There's no doubt about that. But there's something about your stage presence. When you were doing the final performance, I mean, you looked like you had done it a million times. You were so comfortable and you were so, like, the choreography was just second nature to you. But there's something that, like, tickles this little gay boy's heart when you flick your hair like that. There's just something about it that, like, is it, do you, are you conscious of that when you're performing, that, like, there are elements? Because the other thing was eye contact. You were just intensely looking at those judges, and I just feel you were ticking some really big boxes there, and that they were some of them.
Yeah. Well, to kind of throw it back to the last question, when I perform, I allow the energy to flow through me. I'm the vessel of, like, my own consciousness, or whatever you want to say. There's, you know, there's some degree of, you know, making sure that you're present in the moment, but also allowing yourself to move freely and be free within the moment, because that's the most authentic thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was sort of, you know, I lent on all of my experience in my past 10 years of drag. I lent on all of the stuff I'd learned on the show. And I was just, you know, Drag Race was the catalyst drag queen. So having that thought as, hey, this is the penultimate moment for you. Just live, just be. That was sort of the, you know, the moment. So to allow the universe's energy to flow through me and be me, be Isis, shine like the star.
Yeah.
Was sort of that was what was going through me. And just being proud in that moment that myself and the two other girls, Gabs and Floor, made it to the finale. That's an achievement in itself. It's Drag Race is not an easy slog.
No.
And to make it that far, and to have done so well, I did do very, very well. In some ways, I wish that I had lip sync for my life, because there's a fire there that's always wonderful to see.
Yeah.
However, I think I showed many other facets.
It's and, a funny know, situation, isn't it? Because as a viewer, found myself in the same position. I was like, I'm super glad that you weren't in the bottom. But then when I was watching, every time I would watch you perform, I'm like, oh, maybe once or twice would have been nice, just to see you let rip that fire a little bit. But the thing is that, I mean, as I said to Floor, three words for you: work the world. Like, I mean, come on, girl. Like, it's almost like Drag Race has given you the ice cream sundae and the cherry, like, you know, bringing this into your presence, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've got the cake at the back as well. Don't you worry. Yeah.
And a little goodie bag to take home, darling.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yes, I think in the finale performance, you did see a power behind my performance that was somewhat similar to, you know, a lip sync, because we were fighting for the crown. Mm. Gabs had an incredible run. Her growth within the series was incredible, phenomenal. And so to make sure that, you know, the nail in the coffin with that performance was, you know, give it to me, I deserve it. I've worked hard, and Gabs has worked hard. There's a fire there that, you know, really resonated. What was the question? I forgot. I've lost.
Oh, look, now. There was no question. I'm just happy just to talk about, like, how great you are.
It was an incredible experience.
It was amazing to watch. It was just like, it's just so incredible. And do you know, I was going to say, it's a really interesting situation when you go into that final three and into the final two, because you kind of, like, very much, it was like similar to the season two girls, where I got the feeling where you, I mean, when it came down to you and Gab, that you were just stoked to be there. You were just, you were fighting for it and you wanted it, but you were just elated to have made it to that point of the competition. And it's so wonderful to see a friendship and a sisterhood kind of, like, blossom between you, regardless of whether you knew each other before or not. But, like, the fact that you just want the best for each other and you'd be happy no matter who won it, you know, like, that's the vibe I got from you both.
Yeah, completely. Completely. We both respected each other. We both respected each other so much. And we both recognized the talents that each of us have and brought to the competition. We, you know, we didn't get to the end for no reason. We were very, very strong competition. A lot of the girls were. It was a surreal moment in one way. But also a moment of, like, we made it. Let's go for it. Let's leave nothing else on the table. Let's love it and fucking go for it.
It was. Two things I wanted to talk to you about before I let you go. The first one was, like you mentioned being a superhero, and I think that a lot of queer people can really align to that, because sometimes we do feel like in order to lift ourselves out up of a situation, it feels superhuman. We look to drag queens because they are superheroes. They are an extended version of the person playing them. They're an extended version of ourselves. We see ourselves in you. How does that work into your kind of ethos as a performer, you as a person, you as a drag queen? I mean, I think it's just amazing. And I think young people in particular are just going to look to you and literally see you as a superhero in their eyes.
Yeah, that was one of my modus operandi going into Drag Race.
Another big word. Oh, my God.
As a young queer person growing up in the 90s after the AIDS epidemic, pandemic, and then going through marriage equality vote and all sort of stuff here in Australia, there was a lot of discourse. There was a lot of stigma around being queer. And I wanted to go into Drag Race to share my story and to be someone that young people, but also people of all ages, to look to as a beacon of light, hope, love, a superhero of sorts, just a role model, hopefully, to go, hey, that person went through a lot of stuff. Maybe it's similar stuff that I'm going through, and they were able to turn the tragic and make it into magic, as Alaska says. It's that was really important to me, going through a lot of horrible stuff as a kid with, you know, high school and schoolyard bullying, and just the stigma around being gay when I was growing up, and there's still stigma now.
Yeah, for sure. Don't you think it's a really important story to tell, though? And this is what I get from you that I align myself with, is that you can flourish as a person.
Yes.
And that there, and that you can rise up out of that situation, and you can actually do great things in your life. And that's what I just love about it. And it kind of brings me to my final question, is that, you know, have you spent any of that money yet and brought chicken nuggets like you said you were going to?
I considered buying chicken nuggets last night for a late night too. I haven't yet, no. But best believe there's going to be a good 50,000 chicken nuggets going through my body for the next 20 years. Thank you very much, RuPaul.
Thanks, Mama Ru. Hey, it's been so great to see you on our TV screens. I feel like I could honestly sit here and talk to you for hours. So wonderful to have you as our reigning queen. May your year of royalty just be incredible. And I feel like you are just going to spread so much joy to people. And I cannot wait to see what the world gets to see of Isis Avis Loren very soon. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Justin. My pleasure.
Well, that's it for another season. Thank you so much for joining me each week. I hope you've enjoyed hearing from the queens as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you each week. Let's hope that the drag gods bring us season 4. And in the meantime, don't miss RuPaul's Drag Race UK, plus all of the other shows from all around the world. And until next time, look over there.